Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
There's a spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolyte.
Yeah, it's got electrolyte.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Good evening, Port City Patriots. It is Tonight in Mobile featuring Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Neudrolix. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in again. And let's just get right into it. Last week, the topic was the five things I hate about Mobile. It turned out to be about eight. And my older brother sent a message that I didn't see until I left and asked him, well, what do you like? Bro Young, I like beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, ram, ham, frogs, you name it! So that is what I like. I want to start off by asking for prayers from the Curtis family. My good friend, childhood friend, Dan, lost his mother last week, which is a double tragedy because it was also his birthday. I've had the pleasure of knowing him my entire life. I mean, my first memories of life include Ben. And keep his family in their in your prayers, and him also because he lost his mother during his birthday week. So tell the kids good night. It's time to talk. I want to ask my friend who happens to be my lawyer, Brian Overstreet, get well soon. He's not feeling well. Congratulations to my brother Marcus and Angela, who celebrated their 27th wedding anniversary last week. You can tell who the good twin and evil twin are. It's easy to distinguish. John Ford got a daily double this month. You've heard him on shows with me. He's celebrating his 6th wedding anniversary and his 44th birthday. And he's fighting in Southern Hand Slugfest next month on the 26th in Biloxi. And instead of buying a Corvette, his midlife crisis is to box again. So I'm helping him, trying to keep him in shape. It was also my good friend Sean Bernard's birthday, Randy McClellan. Captain Charles Bagsby celebrated his 46th birthday. The Claws are celebrating their 15-year anniversary. Also, Marie Morris is celebrating her birthday this month. And my good friend, George El Wapo Busby, is 41. And I wanted to say a huge hello to Samira Barnett. She's the daughter of one of my good friends, Mikey Barnett. It's her birthday this month. And I think she's 11 or 12. Mikey, if you're listening, call and correct me. Neudrolix is celebrating their 50th year anniversary this year also. A phenomenal company. It's not just that they sponsor my show, but I'm actually friends with, had lunch with them earlier today. Just an incredible, wonderful group. And I spoke to one of my childhood friends, Kenneth Bubba Drivelbiz, last week. And we were close coming out of high school and going into college. But he got married. I think he's been married about 26 years. And we talked. And it was just like old times. That's one thing with guys. If we don't talk to each other six or every year, but we pick up where we left off in our last conversation. That's the thing about guys. And it was just a fun conversation. So I'm not always doom and gloom. But this past Saturday, I had a very special event, unique, the Tolmanville Warren Street Church, United Methodist Church, named me their 2024 Man of the Year. They had a ceremony at the church, gave me a nice plaque, and I'm grateful to my friends that came out, Chris, Paul, Kay, Craig came up from Gulf Shores with his beautiful fiance. And we don't do the work, Philip, for notoriety and recognition. We do the work because we really want kids to stop killing each other, right?
Yeah.
Right, so self-evident,
hopefully.
Right, it is so rare for anyone to acknowledge our work. It's so rare to get a pat on the back or an attaboy or a round of applause or an award. And for an organization, a church that I'd only visited once ever to have seen the work we're doing and thought enough of me to invite me. And they had a potluck there. They had everything from quesadillas to stuffed jalapeno, lasagna, spaghetti. You name it, they had it there. Chris stuffed himself. Mm-hmm. We all did, really. But Paul, he had like 8 fajitas for quesadillas. But when I receive that type of recognition, it's not just me. There are so many other guys that work with me. I'm just the one that has the gift of gab and communication. And I said something 3 years ago that sort of put me on the map. But it isn't me. I would start naming people, but I'd leave someone out, so I'm not. But it isn't me, but I accept the award on behalf of Men United Against Violence, and we are flattered that anyone listens to us, pays attention to us, or thinks our work is worthy of recognition. You know, it has to be done, and said Mobile, when we started this show, I have to continue with what got me here. Last week was lighthearted, but we have to get back to business to try to correct some of these things, and our topic is maturity. And what I've noticed is that there's just so many young men, and we always start with men, who are failing to make the transition into adulthood. And why is that so important? Because if they don't grow up, then they remain children emotionally, mentally, in some instances physically, and we're not doing ourselves any favor by ignoring it. The textbook definition of maturity is the state, fact, or period of being mature. But I like a more descriptive term, which is the ability to respond to a given situation appropriately, along with the more concrete stages of maturity, or those dealing with age. Emotional maturity is an important indicator of an individual's ability to respond appropriately to situations that affect them. And in the context of violence in Mobile, gun violence involving young men, primarily young black men, so many of them have come from broken homes absent a father, not a male figure, but a father. And the one of all the things a man teaches his son is how to respond appropriately to situations, bad and good. What to do when you feel embarrassed. What to do when you're frustrated. What to do when you're sad. What to do when you're mad. So many of these kids are growing up in a constant perpetual status of childhood. So they don't grow up. They don't know what grow up looks like. And that's the issue. We have to prepare boys for the future. They cannot get their information from negative violent sources. Philip, we have to have mature people leading the way, and we always start with men. Philip, you know our conversations always begins with men, and I don't talk down to anyone. I include myself in all my conversations, what I need to improve on. And if we can get emotional and mental and spiritual maturity in these children, then maybe they will think about it. Nope, I know they will think about it before they consider grabbing a gun or starting a fight or committing a robbery or a carjacking or a burglary, because they will have realized there are other options. I don't have to do this. And we have to put it that plainly. We have to state it that clearly. And this is the time to do that. We have reached a point that we've made excuses for childish behavior in adults. We've made excuses for a behavior that is unacceptable. 1 Corinthians 13:10-12 says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known." We have to put away childish things. And when we come back from the break, we're going to explain what those childish things are and how to put them away. We don't ever talk about problems without talking about solutions. And the solutions are and begin with self. It always starts there. But who is teaching self? Who is giving the guidance and who is giving the greatest influence? So when we come back after break, we'll hop right back into it. I got to pay the bills. So Run DMC is going to take us into our commercial break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes, 2 seconds. That's my homage to Chuck Woolery. See you, Fort City Patriots. Welcome back, Port City Patriots, to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Neudrolics. The call and text line number is 251-343-0106. I'd like to hear your suggestions on growing up. What are your ideas or some of your personal stories? What is growing up? What is, it is, as I just stated, when you are a child, you think as a child. Meaning you consider things as a child, you're entertained by things as a child, what you enjoy doing is childish and immature, you speak as a child, a limited vocabulary, maybe speaking in jargon and slang and not standardized English. And that is fine when you are young and learning, you know, if baby talk is still cute, the baby babble is still cute, but we mock a 10-year-old that say, well, he name. It may be funny the first time, but when he made a habit of that, we realized his child needs help. So it's no difference than, if a 50-year-old man, you know, Philip uses this urban dictionary to communicate. And as a means of proper communication, we need to learn standardized English. So it's outgrowing some habits and some behaviors. That is what grow up means. Going to the bar every Friday night, getting blackout drunk, or picking fights, or some girl going home with her pantyhose in her hand after hanging out there. You know, grow up. You can't sit on the floor and play video games all the time. You can't drive around with loud music. You should not wear your clothes. Fashion, men are not supposed to wear cartoon t-shirts all the time. There might be an occasion when it's funny, but that shouldn't be the main part of your wardrobe. So, you know, when you think as a child, speak as a child, consider as a child, but when you become a man, you have to put away those childish things, and too many men are remaining in that state of puberty. I think a lot of it has to be with guys who are raised by single mothers. Sometimes they're, because women are nurturers by nature, that they coddle and cajole their sons and hold them too long, and they used to call it apron strings when I was a kid. Now they call them son husbands. You know, when the mom has a child at 16 years old, and when he's 16, she's 32, and he's the only woman he's ever had interactions with, and she's treating him like he's the man of the house, and he isn't. He's a boy. He's too immature to lead a home. We use that term man of the house way too often and too loosely. No, you have to be a man to be the man of the house. And if you leave an immature child in charge and give him the idea that he's the man of the house, well, what do you think is going to happen if when you say, hey, you tell your toddler baby, well, what do you want for breakfast? What do you think they're going to say? Cake, pie, ice cream, SpaghettiOs, burrito. You know, of course they're not going to say they want two eggs and scrambled and toast or some milk. They're going to say with their immature, underdeveloped minds, no. And that's what we deal with when we have men my age who are wearing cartoon underwear showing underneath their skinny leg, ripped up pants, leg jean, and bedazzled belt and bedazzled matching shoes. And his hair isn't combed. He isn't neat. He isn't proper. He has tattoos all over his neck and arms. Well, what example are we setting to the kids? We need to get back to that. We just have to acknowledge it for what it is, that behaving like a child as an adult is not flattering. It isn't funny. There are some conversations that you should not have as a man. My brother always says, Bro Young says, at 25, you're as grown as you're going to be. All you can do now is grow old. That means you have your work ethic. You have your desire to do something. You've developed those skills by 25. And then that's how you know when it's time to grow up. The indicators for when it's time to grow up is either you reach 25 years of age, you have a child, or you begin your profession. That's when it's time to put away childish things. And I think 25 should be the limit. But if any of those things occur before that age, it's time to grow up. It's time. I'm sorry if you ran out and got knocked up. Can I say that? Can I say knocked up? If I can say knocked up at 15 or 16 years old, I am sorry. You should have kept your legs crossed. But now it's time to grow up. It is now time that child is your greatest responsibility. And that's what we miss with young parents and unwed mothers and illegitimate fathers. They must still step into that role because this is now the most important thing. When I was doing security at clubs, guys would come in and they'd say they'd have big jobs, making big money and live on the big side of town, but they're at these trashy nightclubs at 1 o'clock in the morning. Well, why are you here if you're a longshoreman? Why are you here if you drive a truck? Oh, because they can come there with their gold chain and watch and show off. They can come in, and we called it fronting in the 80s, you know. but that's immaturity because you've outgrown this. And there's nothing with outgrowing. There's nothing wrong with outgrowing something. There's nothing wrong with when I won't say his name, when my buddy got married and, you know, he had a kid and we were young. I mean, maybe 21, 22. And me and Aaron and the guy, man, oh, you know, he wish he'd come out, you know. But that's just the way it was. He had to grow up. And we aren't putting that pressure on people now anymore. We're saying 40 is the new 20. Well, no, JY, I don't want to do what I was doing at 20. I can afford better right now, except I'm upside down in that Nissan like Chris Levy at a keg party. But I don't have to go to spring break. I don't want to be around a bunch of screaming, roared, raging, popped up on pills and vape teenagers. I don't, you know, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in those types of conversations anymore to sit around and talk about who and what and why. Man, I'm 54. That's, whatever, dude. If you catch me, I'm only awake now because I'm on the show. If we have to just leave some things alone. We have to leave it alone. Our conversation, the way we speak, has to change because we are leaving behind something. It's just part of life. And young guys laugh at old cats that come and try to hang out with them. Young guys, they call us Unc now. I'd rather be called Mr. Young. But I carry myself as Mr. Young. I don't speak the way these children speak. I don't dress like them. I don't socialize or entertain myself like them. So I don't want to be called Unc or old school. But guys who are still out here trying to be a part of that scene do. And it's detrimental to them and to the young kids because they shouldn't see an old version of themselves. They should see old men. They should see a difference in the way we walk, in the way we talk, in the way we carry ourselves, that we can control our emotions. You know, we talked about maturity, the ability to control yourself under different circumstances and emotions, and that's what they should see. Another part of maturity is self-accountability. I was hanging out with my buddy Paul before I came up here, and he said, be accountable. Don't start kicking and screaming and calling for your mother when you get arrested for killing or stealing. You know, and accountability is defined as the quality or state of being accountable, especially an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. That's exactly what it comes down to, holding self-accountability. And we as a society must demand accountability. Because if you continue telling kids that it's not your fault that you failed, it's something else, you set that child up for failure because they never have to be accountable for not showing up to class, not turning in their homework, or being disruptive. If we continue saying he died from a drug overdose, or he died because he tried to grab a police officer's gun, or he died fighting the police or resisting the police, or that takes away accountability for action. And what are we teaching kids then? Go do wrong, and it's always someone else's fault. I believe personally that's why we see more instances of people willing to challenge authority, willing to challenge not just police, but judges. Then they see politicians at the airport and begin shouting at them and just being in an undignified, disrespectful manner. When we alleviate accountability, then people don't take responsibility. It's like when you offer complete immunity, people will act with impunity. If there are no consequences to their action, if I don't have to work and provide for my family because someone else will, we must return accountability and shame. I've said it with Sean plenty of times, Action Man on Midday Mobile, we have to bring shame back. Being unemployed, being lazy, being smelly, you know, hygiene is very important. But someone has to set these examples, and it's up to us to do it. We have to say what needs to be said, and it might make us unpopular. We might have to be the heavy. So be it. So be it. That's just the way it is. We're coming up on the break. When we come back, we'll keep talking about grow up. This is Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile and my buddy Philip. So we'll be back in 2 minutes, 2 seconds, like Chuck Willery.
All right.
Thank you. Welcome back, Port City Patriots. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, hosted by Newdrolics. I always have to say that when you guys call Newdrolics, ask for Street Jesus. He's one of the salesmen there.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And say that you want to meet Anna. She's the longest. Anna's been there longer than Wade. Anna's been there since the company started. And Wade started as a teenager. Now he's the CEO, but when you call there, say that you want to meet Street Jesus and meet Anna. I always say their names because they're paying for my show. Also, Youth Reach Gulf Coast is a sponsor for my show. It is a Christ-centered residential home for young men ages 18 to 22, located in Summerdale, Alabama, on an 81-acre campus. They offer a year-long minimum full service opportunity at no cost to the men or their families. Young men and staff, families live, work, and enjoy life together. The community provides a healthy and stable environment for residents to know hope and be restored and to belong. It is voluntary commitment, but YRGC does work with the court system to help young men resolve their court cases. Through a year, the men receive biblical teaching and counseling, valuable life skills, and tools for healthy habit and character building. Please visit the website at yrgc.org. My friend Craig was here last week, Craig Jennings. He's a participant there, and he believes in it. And if he believes in it, I believe in it also. I also believe in Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn, located at 266 East I-65 Service Road. Ed, Sandra, Braxton, J.J., Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly are all there to help you. J.J. loves bear hugs, so when you see him, go by there just to hug him. Braxton loves having his beard stroked. But they have everything you need at Eddie's Pawn Shop. I've bought everything from electronics. I've bought power tools. I bought a set of golf clubs. I've bought several firearms from them. I bought some jewelry, wink, wink. But they have everything you need there. So stop in, tell them JY sent you or Mr. Mobile, and they'll take care of you. They even check cash checks, but they don't do babysitting. But go by Eddie's Pawn Shop, 266 East I-65 Service Road North. And I want to talk to you guys about the Buffalo Soldiers Association. Eddie Irby called me last week, and they have a program for young men that teaches them about World War II history, the Buffalo Soldiers, and the discipline it took. And they have a program where they invite young men in who don't smoke, don't drink, tattoos aren't visible, no earrings, have a regular military-style haircut, and the parents have to be involved. These are the types of programs we need to get behind and promote because it teaches responsibility, accountability, and maturity. Some of these men that were Buffalo Soldiers that fought in World War II. Yes, black men fought in World War II for the freedom of the nation they loved. And they carry this spirit onward by demonstrating to young men military discipline outside of the military. So if you're interested in that, contact my friend Eddie Irby at 251-591-3057, 251-591-3057. Well, let's get back to it. Let's get back to talk about growing up. The call and text line is 251-343-0106. Mob Dog, if no one else is listening to me, you always do. And you're absolutely right. When it's time to grow up, you learn how to carry yourself and make better choices. And we have to get to that point that we see it all the time. I said at Tolmanville Warren United Methodist Church that when I grew up at Ebenezer Ami Zion Church on St. Charles Street in Tolmanville, all I saw were men. All I saw were real men, godly men. These weren't no punks. And I saw that at school. All of our school teachers wore ties. Even the custodian, he had a uniform and his shirt was tucked in, and he had the ability to correct us. And Miss Poe at Baker had the ability to correct us, but they presented themselves in such a mature adult way that they weren't trying to be fun and cool with us, Philip. They were trying to set examples of adulthood. We didn't look down on them because they were mopping floors. Well, they were adults, working adults, and we'd been taught to respect working people. So that's what we have to get back to. Every time a child sees us, they should see an old person. They should not see a young, old version of themselves. You know, self-responsibility is the state or fact of being responsible, answerable, or accountable for something within one's power, control, or management. More descriptively, self-responsibility refers to the individual's ability to take charge of their own actions and decisions, even in the face of challenging circumstances such as dying. The Buffalo Soldiers, they knew all of them weren't coming back, but they went. How admirable is that? So many people are willing to sacrifice for us like that. But that's growing up. That's realizing there's a greater cause than self. There's something greater than self. When we started Men United Against Violence, there's something greater than me. Every time I open my mouth, I go to an interview, I do my show, my willingness to put out the message of how to get black men to stop killing black men is the risk of making someone angry, making someone want to stop our message. But that's self-responsibility. And we need to teach young men that again. We need to teach accountability and how to grow up and what it looks like to grow up. When do you grow up? It's by age, or when you have children, your profession. Why do you need to grow up? Well, who's going to teach the young people? Who's going to teach a young man how to walk? For whatever reason, I did not understand in childhood, my dad hated for us to have both of our hands in our pockets. Whenever we were standing or walking, you could only have one hand in your pocket. And why? Because it makes you, he came up in there when you call, were called shiftless. That means you were lazy. If you had both hands in your pocket, you looked suspicious. What are you hiding? What are you stealing? So someone had to lead me to teach me that. When my dad would get into these prolonged, and Johnny Mac can talk, he would get into these prolonged conversations with whoever he met. And McDonald's, he said, you're taking me, and it's right there. Why are we still standing here? Why are we? But, that, you know, he had to lead and show that, be patient. I didn't say that to him. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't say it. He's 92 now. I wouldn't say it to him. But we have to, as mature men, have to set the example and lead. We must inspire young boys to become older men. And how do we do that? By making sound decisions. The words that you'll always hear from a man is, I'll take care of it. Regardless of what the problem is, he says, I'll take care of it. The pipes burst, I'll take care of it. The car broke down, I'll take care of it. You know, my hair is falling out. Can't do anything about that. But I hope you like bald. But our idea is always, I don't have a head of hair like Philip. You ought to see it. Our response is because we lead by example. We inspire through words and deeds. And we develop by training and teaching. These are the three tenets that when I was at the academy with 46-year-old Captain Charles Bagsby, it was lead, inspire, and develop our young recruits, our subordinates. And that's how, because I wanted to pick some of them up one day and throw them down. And back then I physically could. And Chuck D says, Jay, why are they like kids, man? We're their parents. And from that day, it changed the way I thought. I have to lead, inspire, and develop them. I have to lead by example. I have to be the example. I have to show them what I want them to become. So, you know, Chuck D and I were working out all. We were in great shape, but we were inspiring them through our words and deeds. We would always, before we worked out, have a message for the day. And we develop them through hard training, physical training, so the mind is as strong as the body. We challenge them. And we did that because we looked at them as our children. And Port City Patriots, that's what we have to do now. I'm not saying that everybody can't be saved. All right? Let's get this out of our mind that we can bring everyone along. I believe if schools focus more on C students, we would create more B and A students. But our attention is always on the student who does not want to learn or cooperate or submit and follow. And so we dumb down all of our lesson plans to them so that they feel like they've accomplished something. Meanwhile, the C student who needs, and I am a perpetual C student, I have forever and ever been, that student is ignored because we spend so much time on people that don't want to be saved. When we preach the gospel, we throw it out. The seeds fall on good soil or stony soil, and that's not my decision if the sake takes root. And leave something for the children. If grown old men are at the rap concerts and spring break, and if the old men are wearing the cartoon T-shirts and hooded sweatshirts and saying, yeah, you know what I mean, son? And if the old men are doing that, what do the kids have? If the old man, hey, look, I came up in a generation of playing video games, and occasionally I'll fire up the Nintendo, the original NES. Occasionally. But if I go to an arcade room, and I guess a little street Jesus said Aladdin's Castle is no longer open. If I go there and I'm taking up the games from the kids and I'm in the way, then what do the kids have? What is really theirs? The hairstyles we share, the clothes we share, the way we speak we share. What do the kids have to look forward to? We're coming up on our final break. We'd like to get to the text and phone line, 251-343-0106. This is Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, sponsored by Neudrolics. We'll be right back. We'll let them hear one of the greatest hip-hop songs ever. 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 Live tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, and my friend Paul Paycheck has sent a message saying there is no better feeling for a father than your son has made the right choices and has been successful in life. Indeed, you are right, Paycheck. And I think every father desires that for their children. We all want what is best for our children. Philip, you said we had a few text messages.
Sure. Let me see here. Says, let's see, enjoying the topic, maturity for me was understanding I didn't know it all and learning to always stay teachable. That's Jason.
Hey, thank you, Jason. You're right.
Let's see, you are the author of your own destiny. When you learn, teach. When you get, give. Still I rise.
Right on.
And it's a number here, and let's see. And same guy from earlier. My son Ryan is home from college for a week and is listening with me tonight. He says, I like what he's saying. He downloaded the app, and you've got a new listener in Auburn, Joe.
Wonderful.
Pigal? I'm not sure how to
pronounce it. Hey, Joe P. Hey, glad. Hey, thanks. I'm glad you and your son are listening. You're supposed to buy me lunch Thursday. I'm not going to forget that. But it is inspiring to hear these things for me. And oftentimes I've heard, oh, you're preaching to the choir. Well, sometimes the choir needs a fire lit underneath them, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to hear that we are right. At Tolmanville Warren, I always have something to say. I just don't always have anyone to listen to me. And they, JY, or do you have anything to say? Oh, I do. Just keep doing what we're doing, but let's be bold with it.
It takes courage to speak out. You know, people will say, oh, it's just words. Well, I don't know. Sometimes it takes courage just to say the right thing.
Does it? I'm too afraid. I'm too naive to be afraid of anything or anyone. You know what I'm saying? I'm not foolish, but I don't fear too many things.
Well, you built that up over time.
It did. It took, and the seed that was planted was by my father. Right? And that's what we're saying to people. Now is the time to plant these seeds of grow up. We all have to do a self-review. I have to do a self-review. I am not talking to anyone as if I am perfect or infallible or have not screwed up. I'm upside down in a truck right now, like Lizzo at a cake party. I tried Port City Patriots. I tried not to say anything about her. But I'm addicted, you guys know. But it takes discipline to figure out how to solve it. I sent a message to my good friend John Naughton, who is a mega banker. He's in that 1%. I'm joking. I graduated high school with him, but I'm trying to figure things out. And men must do these things. We have to always be available to other men. And it's because who's going to teach? Who's going to teach if we have to always be told what to do? Samuel Wood says, you are your own author of your own destiny. That's who sent that in the text line. He just texted to me, when you learn, you teach, when you get, you give, still I rise. You're absolutely right, Samuel. And I've been talking to my good friend, Pastor Wesley Davis at Nazaree. We are meeting and working something out, that we're going to get a group of men together and go out into these neighborhoods and talk to these young men. Let them see men who care about them, not trying to take anything from them, but men who are just going to talk to them and minister to them. Because this is a conflict of soul. We are in an emotional sin problem. Ultimately, it comes down to the heart. We have to prick the heart to make it be changed. And we are saying it should not take going to prison to change. It should not take being on a colonoscopy bag. Say it, Philip.
That's right. It shouldn't take going to prison to change.
It should not being shot to change. You should learn these lessons and not uphold it. But what do you see when you go to these teen parties or teen jam parties, regardless of who's hosting it? They're playing the same music that we're trying to get away from. The hosts are dressed the same way. They have the same hairstyle. The book says, doesn't it tell you that nature tells you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? The book says that. The book says that women should dress in shamefaced and modest apparel. Now, if I'm trying to tell kids not to rob, cheat, and steal, but I look like them telling them that, why would they? Why would they stop? You're just like me. I don't want to go up and have a multifunction handshake with a bunch of kids and everyone has their own handshake. I want them to learn a standardized handshake. I'm cool with the bro hug. I'm cool with the shoulder to shoulder. Hey, man, I'm cool. I'm down, you know. But we have to set a standard. Poor City Patriots, we have to get back to what we know worked. Men that carried in their pocket, they had a pocket protector for their glasses or a bunch of ink pens. We have to get back to a distinction between how a man dressed and how his son dressed. Because if he doesn't set that example, then who will? These guys on TV, you want your son wearing a skirt or a dress or carrying? I saw a basketball player carrying a pocketbook. I don't care what you call it. It's a pocketbook. I don't care how expensive it is. I don't care what color it is, how unique it is. If you're carrying a big bag with two handles or a strap on it around your body, it's a pocketbook. Let's just get back to basics. Growing up is not bad. You know, it's scary when you're in your 20s and you look at a 50-year-old guy and say, oh, look at Pops, what's wrong with him? Until you become 50. Now it's not so bad. We all feared getting older. We all feared we were going to lose something. But you know, your friends change. Your life changes. Your responsibility changes. My sister Alicia says adults having juveniles and not correcting them. And sometimes the adults are even instigating fights. And you're right, Leisha. That's because of the lack of maturity and growth. We are going backwards in our society and what we deem as our culture. And all we are saying is there's a point that you reach that you have to stop doing and saying and going. You have to stop doing certain things, stop saying certain things, and stop going to certain places. There just has to be this delineation between adults and children. It's a tough, hard pill, but we can get there as soon as we turn. This is a heart problem. So let's turn our hearts back to, or turn our hearts to what we know is right. We're winding down. The hour flies by, but I'll be back next Monday. I'll have a new topic, and I will have the first ever poem by Mr. Mobile saying, I am Mr. Mobile. I'm going to read it live on air. I've written it myself. I did not have any help, not even from Miss Mullen, my speech teacher, or Miss Gully, one of my favorite English teachers. But this is Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. Thank you guys for tuning in. Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Take us to the bridge, Philip. Cue up some Run DMC for all the party people out there. Thank you, guys. Good night. God bless you. I love the Port City.